to start things off, what led to the breakdown in negotiations between universities and the main union, NTEU?
When the pandemic started, the NTEU went to the universities and said, let's have a joint program to see whether we can mitigate the impact of the decline in student numbers and the decline in revenue. And that was negotiated at very senior level by four vice chancellors and the NTEU, which is the main union. But very few universities took that up. And I suspect the reason why they didn't take it up quite considerably was that the agreement did require some joint monitoring and joint decision-making around university finances and university staff numbers. I think the reasons why universities didn't take that up will actually relate to specific issues within each of the universities.
Right. Then how have these different specific universities approached reducing their employment costs to differently curb their shortfall?
Well, the majority of them have moved into some form of voluntary redundancy program.
Yeah.
And a few, and especially some of the bigger universities, are looking to implement significant restructures and reorganizations at the same time as undertaking the voluntary redundancy programs. The smaller universities, especially some of the regional universities, which were less dependent on international student numbers, have so far not undertaken major restructures or major redundancies. So again, it depends on the situation of each university.
Do you think this is a result of the universities being denied access to JobKeeper?
Even had the universities been given access to JobKeeper, I suspect that that would not have made up for the shortfall in revenue that would have resulted from the loss of a substantial number of international students. So in part, yes, it did relate to the failure of universities to be offered JobKeeper, but it also probably, even had they been offered JobSeeker, would have been insufficient.
Right. Why do you think the federal government denied universities access to JobKeeper in the first place?
I'm not 100% certain. There would be some people who'd say it's some sort of conspiracy.
I don't have any
knowledge of why the government did or didn't do this. I think you could sort of argue, though I don't necessarily see that as an argument, that they would see universities as public sector organisations, and generally they did not offer JobKeeper to public sector organisations.
Right. In this case, right, you speak of voluntary redundancy, so the reduction of academic staff overall. How do you think this impacts current students and staff?
I suspect that on the whole, we're still not looking at, 50% reduction, or even mainly it's probably something like a 10% reduction overall in staff numbers. So if that were the case, it's going to be very specific in some disciplines, and you can see that already. Universities are saying, we are not going to offer this discipline or this subject anymore. And so that then would impact on that specific group of students who want to study that subject. On the other hand, for those big common subjects that lots and lots of students study, I suspect they don't see much of an impact on their education. They, of course, have an impact on their education, and that's just been shown up in the quality of teaching and learning results. The pandemic's had an impact more on the fact that they've had to do online learning for a whole year, and that's been quite difficult for them.
Online learning is, I guess, a poor facsimile for face-to-face communication, right? The in-person kinesthetic opportunity?
Well, it's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah.
The QUILT survey, the Quality Teaching and Learning survey, does indicate that there's been a decline. On the other hand, I'm associated with some institutions, and they say that, in fact, the online learning has improved engagement
that
international students find that easier to manage than some of the classroom situations. So I think the jury's still out on how bad or how good that's been, and we'll probably only know in the next few years what the long-term impact is going to be.
Finally, do you think this will affect Australia's international standing as a premier overseas study location?
Yes, I think it will.
How so?
I think unless something radically changes, I think it will. And the reason is the confluence between getting the funding from international students, which has enabled universities to invest more in research and to actually generate a huge amount of research. We're punching above our weight as a country in research. That then puts the universities high in the international league tables, and therefore students looking to study at prestigious institutions look at Australian institutions. So I think the long-term effects will... There will be some negative long-term effects unless there is a radical change in what happens now.
For sure. Thank you so much, Liz, for joining us today.
Okay. Good luck with your rest of your day.
Thank you. You too.
Okay. Bye-bye.